This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruits. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Good morning. Next week, we'll be beginning a new series in the book of Ezekiel. But just for this week, we're having a one-off talk in John chapter 15. And the question that I want to begin with this morning is this: how can we be fruitful at a time like this? If I had to summarize the last 4 or 6 weeks in just one word, I would pick the word frustration. Of course, for many people, it has not just been a frustrating time. For many thousands of people, the last 3 or 4 weeks have been marked by deep suffering. For many thousands more, by fear and loneliness and isolation. For some people, they've been a period of intense busyness and pressure. But I think for most of us, if you had to summarize the last 3 or 4 weeks in just one word, you might pick the word frustration. Spring 2020 has been a singularly unproductive time. So much has been cancelled in the last few weeks. Certainly, it's been an unproductive time for us nationally. We're facing up to an unprecedented contraction in our GDP, and France and Germany are already in recession. It's been an unproductive time for many of us professionally, as we faced being put on furlough, or perhaps having all of our productivity thrown up in the air by changes in routine. Our life turned into a perpetual Zoom meeting. It's been an unproductive time in ministry. When I look back on March 2020, it will be the month of cancellations, the dialogue evangelistic event that my small group were planning to put on so that we could share the good news of the Lord Jesus with our friends. Cancelled. My participation in the Evangelical Ministry Assembly in June. Cancelled. My trip to Singapore in July. Cancelled. The long weekend away that I was going to speak at in May. Cancelled. And along with that, a whole term of Sundays and Wednesday evenings in International Growth Group, all cancelled by COVID-19. If you had to sum up the last 4 weeks in just one word, perhaps you might choose frustration. How can we be fruitful at a time like this? It's not just me, of course. For many of you, the plans that you had to encourage people, to serve, to get alongside people, to speak to people, all of them laid to one side. There's a sense, you feel that perhaps these few weeks with so much doubt and fear in the air, it might be a good opportunity to share something of the Lord Jesus with your colleagues, but then you just can't see them. How can we be fruitful in lockdown? Of course, John, as he wrote his gospel, was not just thinking of this period. In John chapters 13 to 17, the section that we're looking at this morning, he was thinking of the entire period between the resurrection and the return of the Lord Jesus. And that period is marked by one great fact, the physical absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think that in the absence of the Lord Jesus, this too must be a singularly unproductive time. He is our star player. He is the main event. He is our captain. He's the professional. We're the amateurs. We're the novices. He's the expert. Surely you might think we'll be more effective. We'll be more productive. We'll be more fruitful if the times were not like this. Well, we're in John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 17 this morning. It is the pivotal passage in this section in John. And John's aim throughout chapters 14 to 16 of his gospel is to persuade us that now is the best of times. Not the very best of times. For those, we will have to wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the best times there have ever been. If you want to know God, if you want to be effective and fruitful in ministry, if you want abundant life, then now, right now, is the best time there has yet been to be alive. If you took the time to print the handout, you'll see that we have 3 points this morning. And the first is this: the key to fruit bearing is Jesus' relationship with his Father. And how can we be fruitful at a time like this? Well, the key to fruit bearing is Jesus' relationship with his Father. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And this is one of 7 I am sayings in John's gospel. 7 times that Jesus says, I am, and then something. Like every one of the 7 I am sayings, it functions as an executive summary of the passage that we find it in. Like every other I am saying in John's gospel, it puts the focus radically on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you want to be fruitful, then the key is all about the Lord Jesus. I am the true vine. And like every other I am saying in John's gospel, it centers on a claim to fulfill one of the great Old Testament categories. Here, the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We had this picture of the vine in both of our Old Testament readings from the prophet Isaiah. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, Israel was described, well, it was meant to be a vine, a vine that spread out and filled the whole earth with the good works of obedience to God's law, justice and righteousness. A vine that spread out and filled the whole earth with the fruit of the nations streaming to Mount Zion in the fear of the Lord. Repeatedly, Israel was described as being meant to be the vine. And repeatedly in the Old Testament, Israel was described as a fruitless vine, wild and out of control, yielding the wild grapes of an outcry and bloodshed instead of the cultivated fruits of righteousness and justice, barren and desolate, producing nothing amongst the nations of any lasting value. And so Jesus is making a claim. I am the true vine. Everything that Israel was not, I am. A nation that was meant to honor God amongst the world, win the rest of the nations for him, that's me. A servant to bring the nations to the fear of the Lord. Here I am. The key to fruit bearing in this and any age is the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, the key to fruit bearing is Jesus' relationship with his Father. Verse 1 again, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I've said that in many ways, John chapter 15, verse 1 is typical of the I am sayings in John's gospel, but in this regard, it is unique. This is the only one of those seven where Jesus says anything about what his Father actually does. My Father is the vine dresser. Having said that, it's not a new idea in John that the key to fruitfulness might be the relationship between the Lord Jesus and his Father. Throughout his gospel, Jesus has insisted that everything he achieves, everything he really does, is the gift of his Father in heaven. And so in John chapter 5, Jesus said that if the Son gives life to the dead, it's only because the Father showed him how. And in John chapter 6, Jesus said that if people come to him, it's only because the Father draws them. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said that if he has sheep, it's only because the Father has given them to him. Throughout John's gospel, Jesus has insisted that his work has been given to him by his Father. But the game-changing thing that is about to happen here in John chapter 15 is that Jesus is about to return to his Father. In other words, having died and risen from the dead, Jesus is going to ascend to the right hand of God in heaven. And that is going to unlock a whole new age of fruitfulness. Because the Lord Jesus is going to the Father, he will be able to send his Holy Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus is going to the Father, his disciples will have a new access to him in prayer. Because the Lord Jesus is going to the Father, his disciples, in fact, will do greater works than the Lord Jesus has been doing as they raise the dead and give life as they speak his words and evangelize the nations. And here, because the Lord Jesus is going to the Father, because the Father tends this vine, it's going to unlock an age of unprecedented, great, global fruitfulness. How can we bear fruit in a time like this? Well, the key to fruit bearing is the Lord Jesus. I am the true vine. The key to fruit bearing is Jesus' relationship with his Father. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And if that is the key to bearing fruit, then the thing that ought to strike you is that nothing has changed. In one sense, everything has changed since Jesus spoke these words. Then, as he spoke these words to his disciples, he was still preparing to go away. The cross, the resurrection, his ascension, they were all still ahead of him. But nothing has changed since the end of February 2020. We are in the fruitful time. And what makes it fruitful is not our buildings, it's not our conferences or our structures. What makes it fruitful is not our schemes or our plans. What makes it fruitful is not Zoom or even, dare I say it, the St. Helens Media Ministry, thankful for it though we are. What makes this age fruitful is the relationship between the Lord Jesus and his Father. As long as the Father tends the vine, as long as the Lord Jesus is ascended to the throne of heaven, you can be sure of this. There will be fruit. That is how we can be sure that there will be fruits. But how can we be fruitful at a time like this? Well, the key to fruit bearing is Jesus' relationship with his Father. But secondly, the key to our fruit bearing is our connection to the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. Already you are clean, pruned, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The paragraph, I think, runs from verse 3 all the way to verse 11. And the key idea in this paragraph, the new thing here, is the branches. You see the shift from the vine itself to the branches most clearly in the way that the I am saying is reframed. So in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. But then in verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the branches are the key throughout this paragraph. We find out how the branches are pruned as they listen to Jesus' words in verse 3. We find out how the branches are connected to the vine as they abide in the Lord Jesus in verse 4. We find out how they're fruitful in verse 5. In fact, how they are abundantly fruitful in verse 8. And throughout, the key to being a branch is connection to the vine, connection to the Lord Jesus. We see that from two distinct angles. Firstly, through abiding. Look back to verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The key to fruit bearing, first of all, is that the branches abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's such a shift from the vine to the branches in this paragraph, it is tempting to turn this into quite an activist passage. Are you being effective enough in serving the Lord Jesus? Let me ask you, are you abiding hard enough in the vine? Well, for sure, there's something to do in John chapter 15, verse 3 to 11. Disciples abide in Jesus' words. They believe, they continue to cling to the gospel that Jesus first spoke to them. Disciples ask for abundant fruit. Disciples obey Jesus' commandment to love one another. There's something to do. But that image, branches abiding in a tree, I'm not sure how much that is about the initiative of the branches. It's true that some of the branches are broken off. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But they're not thrown away because they didn't get enough people to a dialogue event, or because they hadn't yet led 10 people to the Lord. No, they didn't abide in the words of the Lord Jesus. Don't think of the fragile member of your small group. Don't think of yourself if you're Christian this morning. Don't think of whichever one of the 11 disciples in that room was the least effective evangelist. Think of Judas, who earlier that evening had slid out into the darkness to betray the Lord Jesus. Think of the Pharisees. Think of that part of the vine that stubbornly, high-handedly refused to be pruned, rejecting the words of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God himself. It is possible to be broken off. But no, really, abiding is the default option. Left to themselves, It is just what branches do. I need to be careful here. I'm not much of a horticulturalist. A little bit of me feels sad that I have an AstroTurf back garden. It wasn't my choice. But given what happened to my thyme and my strawberries and my dill and my broad beans and my radishes and my spinach, it's probably for the best that I don't have to look after grass. I'm not really into vines, although the one plant in my back garden that did bear fruit last year was a vine until some naughty squirrels got involved. I'm not much of a gardener. But from my inexpert observations, staying connected to a plant is just what branches do. It doesn't seem to be a particularly active pursuit. It would be for us. It would be even for a squirrel. But for branches, I mean, you never really look at a branch abiding in a plant and think, gosh, that looks like hard work. If branches had ears, I'm not sure I'd take the time to congratulate them. To be honest, they don't even seem to be trying. But this is important. Even though there is a shift from the vine to the branches in this paragraph, all the fruit-bearing power in the branches belongs to the vine. What is the key to fruitfulness? Well, it isn't being a good branch. The key to fruitfulness is the ascension, the relationship between the Lord Jesus and his Father. And the key to our fruitfulness is staying connected to him. Abide in the words that pruned us in the first place. You see it, first of all, with the language of abiding. Secondly, more briefly, with this word asking, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, at this point, some people get into a tangle. Is Jesus just saying you can name it and claim it? But of course, Jesus isn't talking about Ferraris or fortunes or mansions and big houses. He's talking all about fruit bearing, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The thing we're to ask about is bearing fruit. But it is another demonstration of the same principle. The key to fruit bearing is not us, it's the vine, it's Jesus' relationship with his Father. And so if we want to be fruitful, we need to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to be fruitful, we need to ask whatever we wish. The key to fruit bearing is our connection to the Lord Jesus. Fruitfulness is a fact about Jesus and his Father, and only secondarily a fact about us. I think this explains verse 11. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. A joy in John's gospel is all about confidence in the identity and the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham saw Jesus' day and rejoiced. More strikingly, in a very closely parallel passage, John the Baptist, he saw his friend, the bridegroom, arrive. And his joy, he said, was now complete. Full joy. Full joy comes when you recognize the Lord Jesus. Full joy comes when you realize that God's long-promised King has come. And because our fruit-bearing is a fact not about us, but it's a fact about the vine that we're attached to, whenever you see the people of the Lord Jesus bearing fruits, whenever you see multiplication and growth and advance amongst the nations, it shows that the true vine, the promised King, the Son, the Lord Jesus, he must finally be here. Rejoice, the Lord Jesus has come. Just look at what he's doing. And the thing is that it is true, isn't it? Now is the time for joy. Now is the time of abundant fruit. The King really is here. The true vine has arrived. It can be so easy to lose sight of this. We get so short-sighted in our thinking, obsessed with how this week or this month or this 24-hour news cycle is going. We can get so preoccupied with ourselves. Am I a fruitful branch? Am I bearing enough fruit? Well, forget about this 24-hour news cycle for a moment and forget about your branch. Step back and look at the vine. When Jesus spoke these words, he spoke them to 11 men locked in a room with him. When John wrote them down a generation later, Christians still numbered in their thousands. And now, millions upon millions, countless millions from every tribe and tongue and nation, all over the world. You know, when Jesus spoke these words, it would have been impossible for the disciples to imagine that they could outdo a sect like the Pharisees. And now, with the benefit of hindsight, they've conquered the world. The point is that the vine must have come. All of it is evidence about him. The true vine is here. And you can tell that he's here because of the abundant fruit bearing of his people. The key to our fruit bearing is our attachment to the vine. It may be that you're listening in this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. And you might think, how can it be that Christians can possibly think that this dead Jesus has been raised and ascended? How can they be confident in his identity? How can they be full of joy? Well, there were some things that William said last week you could look at in Luke chapter 24. But here's another you could try on for size. Just look at the vine. Look at what the risen and ascended Lord Jesus has done. Look at how he has filled the world with fruit. And you know, if you're not a Christian, that it isn't because Christians are so good at being the vine. No, we're fractious and we're half-hearted and frequently misguided. But it isn't about us. It's about him. It is a reason for full joy in him. Any fruit that we bear is because we're attached to the vine. And the thing is that if the key to fruit bearing is all in the vine and in our connection to him, well, it's still the fruitful time, isn't it? Jesus is still at God's right hand, and nothing has changed to make us less connected to him. We can still abide in his words. We can still ask for abundant fruits. If you want to be fruitful at a time like this, you can be. If you do what branches do by default, and you stay stuck to the good plant, you will be. The secret to fruit bearing is not our conferences, our schemes, our buildings, our public meetings, our RML evenings, even our media ministry. It is only this, that we remain connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means, thirdly, that the time for fruit bearing is now. The time for fruit bearing is now. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And it's this paragraph that persuades me that fruit bearing in John chapter 15 isn't just about Christian love and transformation. It certainly includes that. That's the command in verse 12. And verse 17, and the Old Testament allusion establishes that it must include love and transformation. But in verse 16, the fruit that Jesus is talking about is fruit that you are appointed, commissioned to bear. And in verse 16, it's fruit that you go to bear. And in verse 16, the fruit is fruit that abides. And the only thing that abides in John 15, 1 to 17 is branches, disciples, people. In other words, the fruit that Jesus is talking about here is love and the new disciples that will come from a transformed vine, the nations, a world, one to praise God as transformed branches spread out into the world. Which explains why verses 12 to 17 strike a new note, the note of commission. You see that in at least three ways. It's there in the word commandment in verse 12 and verse 17 that frames the paragraph. It's there especially in verse 16. You didn't choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You have been chosen to go, he says. You have been appointed. You have been commissioned to go. It's there most arrestingly in his description of the new relationship that his disciples have with him. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. These 11 men, they might have thought that they were already Jesus' friends. They had lived with him. They had eaten with him. They had walked along the road with him. These were the 11 men that he chose to spend the last night of his life with. But no, the shift from servant to friend, it is not about intimacy with the Lord Jesus. It is all about understanding the task. It is about being given the work. It's about being commissioned. It's about being fruitful. And every branch that abides in the Lord Jesus has been given that task, given that work, commissioned to bear fruit. We're all Jesus's friends. It is the most tremendous privilege. Jesus is not our chum. He's not our buddy. Jesus is not our mate. But he is your friend if you are a Christian. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Friends, because he has given us a commission. The key shift in this paragraph is the move to commission. In other words, it's not just a lecture in horticulture. It's not just a presentation on effective ministry. It is preparation for a task. Because the key to fruitful ministry is Jesus' relationship with his Father, because we're connected to him, we've been commissioned. And so the time for bearing fruit is now. I began with a question. How can we be fruitful at a time like this? It's a general question. This age marked as it is by the absence of the Lord Jesus, how could we be fruitful now? It is a specific question. March and April 2020, they will go down as frustrated months, cancelled months, the months when everything went on hold. How can we possibly be fruitful at a time like this? Well, if you're thinking that way, and I have the most tremendous sympathy with you. My calendar is a mess. My ministry plans are in tatters. And frankly, I feel stuck and I've wasted so much time over the last few weeks. But the key to fruitfulness was never my calendar. It was the vine. And the Lord Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father. And we still belong to him as we abide in his words. And so now is the time to bear fruit. It's the time to ask big things and to pray for an abundant harvest. It is the time for joy. Joy that in the midst of all of the frustration and weakness and real suffering, the Lord really has come. The vine has arrived and the nations are being filled with fruit. It is the time for abiding in his words and for obeying his commandments. It is the time for fruit. It is the time for abundant and irrepressible life. A week or so ago, I read an article asking whether COVID-19 might finally put an end to Christianity in the West. Having been told for a few weeks that people couldn't go to church, maybe people would decide that they wouldn't go to church once the lockdown finished. Could COVID-19 spell the end for Christianity in the West? Well, with some confidence, I can say that the answer to that question is no. In fact, you know, when with the benefit of eternity, we look back at this time, we will see that the biggest thing that was happening in April 2020 was not the battle to protect the NHS or to save lives, important though those things are. It was not the global fight back against a pandemic. It was the relentless, unstoppable, abundant, lavish spreads of invincible fruit-bearing life. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. John chapter 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you so much that the Lord Jesus has departed and is at your right hand on the throne of heaven. We praise you that as we trust in his words, we belong to him. And we thank you that we see with great joy his abundant fruit-bearing power. And we want to ask that you would help us and to continue to abide in the Lord Jesus, to ask big things and to bear fruit in his name. And we ask it to his praise and to your glory. Amen.